welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained procrastination in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister, is good for the economy, because now everybody can snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. This show is the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And as far as I know, there isn't a hell of a lot of humour to be had amidst our subsequent invasion and extermination by alien forces from outside our atmosphere. My very special guest, on that note, is Patty Greer. Patty, welcome to the program. It's my honour to have you.
Well, thank you. It's so fun to watch you.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people say.
Now, it's a virtual entertainment as well as everything you say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about you and how you feel about it, but knowing these things that we know can be really, really stressful.
Yeah, we kind of lose all of our old friends, shall we say.
If they were friends to begin with.
I know. I tell you, the whole world is a new world as soon as you wake up.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's that you lose your old friends per se. It's you make new ones. Or more to the point, you make real ones.
Yeah, it's kind of like stepping through different chapters into different veils of illusion, I imagine. You know, it's all chapters in life anyway, but I have never seen such a shift in my world until the day I woke up in a crop circle and went, "What?" And then everything made sense. And then 6 months later, I made a documentary film with no training and went, "What?" So, I don't know what's real anymore. I got to tell you, Vinny.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard of the TV show Ripley's Believe It or Not? I believe he has some kind of a museum somewhere. And I've figured out that there could be a TV show called Conspiracy Believe It or Not, where you put all the most wacky, crazy possible theories that you could ever conceivably come up with and just put them right next to a real theory that is also incredibly wacky and incredibly crazy that's actually true and see if people can tell the difference. I'd wager it'd be kind of 50-50 because reality's that confusing.
Hmm. Yeah. I've been in Ripley's Believe It or Not Wax Museum, and sometimes the human interpretation of that character is standing there next to the wax one, and it, you do wonder which one is more believable, shall we say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, would you be able to please give us a little bit of background or about yourself, Patty, before this this whole crop circle phenomenon happened to you, and then chronicle just exactly what happened with these crop circles you discovered and how it really changed your life?
Well, it's really nice that you're asking me right after I had a conversation with somebody that asked me the same question. And I always think that everybody knows by now, but people really don't know because the news is so completely misleading. And the news is what most people think they need to watch. So I just keep taking for granted that everybody's awake, and it's the darndest thing. As soon as I start talking and I see their eyes cross and I go, "Oh, hold on a minute. Let me back up." You know, like you just want to, God, I always forget to start at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, "I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were retarded and you didn't know what I was talking about."
But see, we can't even call them retarded because they are unfortunately still the norm, and they still go to McDonald's.
Yeah, I still stand by my previous statement. It means held back. That's what the word actually means. And believe me, if you're going to McDonald's, something's held back.
Something's held back. Well, the interesting thing is this man said to me, a very intelligent man, "Why don't they just land on the lawn of the White House? You know, why don't they just land in the big cities?" Which is what a lot of people that haven't had an experience yet would say. Vinny, have you had an experience extraterrestrial?
No, not yet.
Do you have really close friends that you trust that have, or family members?
No. I mean, my missus had dreams about aliens and stuff. friend John Eisen, who does this magazine, Uncensored magazine. He's really into UFO stuff, and I'm not sure if he's actually seen any, but yeah, I think this would probably be I don't actually have any close friends, but I've interviewed people who've been abducted and so on and so forth. So I'm familiar with the topic and the subject matter, just not personally friends with anybody within my general vicinity who's had these kind of experiences, or if they have had them, they haven't told me about it.
Well, if we're friends in 2 hours from now, then you'll never be able to say that again, because then you'll have a friend who's had experiences.
Well, there you go.
So, for me, I was the same. I had never really thought about UFOs. I had never researched crop circles. But periodically, because there'd be such outstanding ones through the last 30 years, for sure, we'd see them across the news and we'd see them images just posted everywhere. It was remarkable. And then the story would go away. And it was these two old guys that did it. So you can go back to sleep now, Doug and Dave, except one of them has been dead like 20 years now. And last year in England, for instance, which is the place I was going every summer for 7 years to make these movies, there was 69 in England alone last year, 69 crop circles in a 40 square mile radius between Stonehenge, which everybody knows, and the Avebury Stone Circle, which is the largest stone circle in all of Europe, the oldest. And between these two stone circles, which are sacred sites, there's all these churches and mounds where people used to do sacred ceremony and monuments. But there's all these really power points on the earth in southern England. And I think that there's a reason that this is, for some reason, so far been known as the epicenter of crop circles, more here than anywhere else in the world. So last year in this area, there were 69. Did you hear about any of them?
Zero.
And so not only were there 69 in England last year, 2012, but they were also found in Mexico, Argentina, Belgium, Holland, France, Germany, Slovenia, Macedonia, Iran, Croatia, Brazil. I mean, crop circles have been found everywhere for hundreds of years. But if the news doesn't talk about it, it's hard to get it out to the people that it really is something that's been going on for hundreds of years, unrelenting. And it hasn't stopped. So that there were that many in England alone last summer, because we are paying attention there, there's something going on that is some kind of message. Now, there's humans that are claiming to be these clever groups of artisans that go out and they sneak into the field, and they're doing them. They're laying them down with boards and ropes and ha-ha, sneaking away within 3 hours. But in England, in the middle of summer, there's only 3 to 4 hours of darkness. And these things are acres of wheat laid down in perfect symmetry, like hardly a hair out of place. When they're made by humans, you can see broken, a break in the wheat where it's bent over. And there's tens of thousands in acres where they'd be bent over. So you just see all this broken wheat where the elbow is bent. But in the crop circles that make the hair stand up on my arms, put goosebumps from head to toe and chills on the top of my head, when you get down on your knees and look at where those pieces of wheat are bent, hundreds of thousands of them, there's this bubble. We call it a node, a bent node, where some kind of heat hit it instantly, and hundreds of thousands of pieces of wheat or corn or barley or canola went down in perfect symmetry. And some of them go left, some of them go right, some of them go north, some of them go south, but all of them knew where to go, and they don't break. They blow a bubble and bend perfectly.
And they all do it simultaneously, so you've got multiple acres here, and everything just suddenly gets pushed down, and there's a crop circle. It's not like it takes a couple of hours of intricate, weaving and ducking and driving and so on and so forth, as you would do if you've got ropes and boards and sneaking around in the darkness like playing cops and robbers.
Exactly. So I'm going to leave those guys.
Or or Crops and Robbers, I believe, would be the
appropriate. Crops and Robbers. Clever. So, yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about the Human Circle Makers, because I did accidentally meet a group of them. They didn't meet me, but they were sitting behind me at a bar, and it was really telling. What I work with are the real circle makers, in my opinion. And in two of my movies, you can see balls of light making a crop circle. Balls of light come in from opposite directions over a wheat field, standing wheat. You watch these two balls of light circle and lay the field down in a matter of seconds. There were five or six circles and a center circle and a line going out to each of them. In seconds, this thing happened. So I bring the footage home. I get permission to use it. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I met all the big researchers over there because I was really committed right from the beginning. I didn't go there because I was a researcher to England. I was dealing with mercury poisoning from silver fillings. I thought I was going to die. I couldn't get any doctor or healer to fix me because the doctors here aren't allowed to tell you you're dealing with mercury poisoning from your teeth. So I was so desperate to heal that I went, okay, that's it. If there's anything real about UFOs, I'm going to find it. So I went and laid in a crop circle, and that's what got me interested in doing that.
And this, did this crop circle thingy happen to you first, like on your own property? Is that what motivated you to come out?
No, it was that I was desperate to heal. So I went over to England where they were happening, and I laid myself out knowing nothing and started going to the crop circles every summer. I went like 9 weeks in a row by myself. Like, it was almost like I was in a spell from the first crop circle. There is something going on there. And as a person walking in, the one thing that any human can see is that when the hair stands up on your arm, you can see it. When you've got goosebumps head to toe and every ounce of your being is shaking, you can feel it. And when I felt it walking into the crop circle formation, you're just walking in a field of wheat. You have no idea how close you are to it. But when the hair stands up on your arm, it's like, woo-hoo, everything in you lights up.
Can you explain what that phenomenon actually is? I mean, is it just kind of, whoa, I'm looking at something really trippy here and your brain goes haywire and starts sending these shocks through your body? Or is it actually some kind of a chemical reaction because of, I don't know, residual radiation from the crop circle making or something?
I don't know if it's either one of those. For me, I stay very calm and in awe. You know, it's such a stunning thing to feel your body recalibrate. I mean, it's like my body recalibrates. It's not anything I've ever experienced. And the other thing is, visually, there's nothing like it on the planet because the artwork is so expansive and meticulous, and it's being done with grains of crop. So I think that one reason that they're using crop, because I know that your introduction was pointing out all the unfortunate things that are being done to humans. But I think that when I look back at why they're using wheat, corn, barley, canola, hello, they're demanding our attention, not only go to their sticky notes left in the fields, but also to the fields of food. I think that there's a multiple reason that the extraterrestrials are throwing down these messages in food fields is to say to humanity, wake the heck up. Look what's being done to your food.
Mm. And you've seen the documentary Thrive, I take it?
Yeah, they're friends of mine. I love that film.
Now, the interesting part about that film I thought was really astounding was the fact that so many of these crop circles are actually geometric patterns that relate directly to the Taurus energy signature, you know, the energy flow that kind of comes up through the middle in a nice little column and then spreads around like a ball and then just comes straight back up through the middle again like an infinite cycle. And I found that that was really quite strange, because if that's something that human beings have, say, tattooed on whatever it is, ancient Roman ruins and so on and so forth. And now it's propping up in crop circles all over the place. And I doubt many people who are just so sophisticated that they go around with boards and ropes would know about so much about the Taurus. And apparently, this is one of the reasons why the aliens are signaling us, is to let us know about this this energy source. What do you make of that?
I agree that, yeah, Foster and Kimberly, they called it the Taurus equilibrium. I've watched that part back and forth, back and forth. I was fascinated by what they brought about the crop circles. And, you know, even though a lot of people say, oh, crop circles, that's so yesterday. Somebody said that to me the other day, and I said, yeah, 200 years of yesterdays. But, you know, I think it is in such a simple form, really, the way they're communicating. And the Taurus equilibrium is basically taking the formation, like you said, in a 3D format and really showing it as a free energy device, an advanced technology. But, you know, look at the BP logo. They're not exactly our friend, but their logo looks very much like the Taurus equilibrium. They do the flower of life in their logo. And, you know, logos, there's so many different things where, you know, our memory just gets thrown into, God, what is the message? But yeah. I love Thrive. Wonderful.
Okay. Movie. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Patty Greer is my guest, talking about UFOs and crop circles. Hope you enjoy the show today. We'll be right back. Bonkers. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This show might appear a little bit bonkers to some people, but I can assure you, that's what reality is. And if you're in denial that the world is a crazy place, you're more insane than you would have ever conceived. My very special guest, that's actually quite profound, isn't it? My very special guest is Patty Greer, and we're talking about UFOs and crop circles. Patty, do you have a website that you'd be able to plug right here on air so people can go and see your work? Because there's so much of it that we won't be able to get through all of it in this two-hour show, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, my website in America is pattygreer.com, PattyGreer.com. And I have 5 documentaries about the crop circles and musical soundtracks also, which are really crazy, kind of all music from people in the crop circles, including myself. And the movies have been screened around the world for years, but it's one the best feature film twice at the International UFO Congress Convention, which I'm not saying it to brag at all. I'm saying it to say that my work was not planned by me. I went to England to lay in the crop circles because I was having a health issue, I thought. But, you know, life shows us almost what we need rather than what we think we need sometimes. And, like, did you ever guess you'd have a radio show, Vinny?
Actually, yes, I did.
Well, you're awesome at it, and you should. I guess I should speak for myself then. I never thought I'd be a filmmaker. It never crossed my mind, and I certainly never thought about crop circles or UFOs until all of a sudden it became something that, you know, I say to people, have you had an experience yet? Because many people have, but don't remember. And then all of a sudden something happens in your life where you go, oh my God, was that? Oh my God. And then the pieces kind of fit together, but it's, you know, we kind of lose the illusion, like where to draw the line, because things are, like you said, getting so weird.
And well, I say embrace the weirdness, embrace the madness, and just charge forth, come hell or high water. Who cares? It's only craziness. You know, what bad's it going to do to you in order to, well, actually, there's a really sensitive issue on the side here, don't you think, Patty, is that once you bury your head deep in the madness of this world, it can drive you crazy.
Well, I think once you bury your head in the truth of the world is when you start to really feel crazy, because for me, I just keep saying this can't be true. This cannot be true. GMOs and all the food that they don't label, this cannot be true. Chemtrail dumping on all of us, this cannot be true.
Well, you know what? I wonder what the line is between madness and truth. It must be a very fine line indeed.
Well, I'm ready for more truth. How about you?
Yeah.
I'm ready for the dominoes to fall.
Now, considering the dominoes falling and so on and so forth, how exactly do you think the UFOs and crop circles tie into the New World Order agenda? Because this reminds me of the crop circle, again, in Thrive, I think, where they have a pyramid with an all-seeing eye done into a crop circle.
You know, that's not what I think of when I think of a crop circle, but we certainly do see those symbolages everywhere in society. I haven't seen it in a crop circle, but I imagine if some humans got together and said, hey, let's really mess with them, sure, they could throw that down. But for me, because I really went in innocently, I went in to heal my body. I didn't do any research. I had no idea about crop circles, seriously. And bang, they must look at for certain characteristics and go, she'd be perfect. I don't know what. But basically, I passed out. I woke up, and you could ask me just about anything, and I can answer it. And what happened, I didn't know at the time. It took me years to figure out the couple of experiences I've had where I was taken. I don't remember the ship. I don't remember beings, but I do remember where they took me. And it turns out where they took me was, it's called the Library of Illumination, the Akashic Records Library. I didn't learn this until I had a 3-hour regression with a woman that's done a couple thousand ET contactees, where she's done a regression for hours where she takes us back to the experience and then we start to see it visually. Now, again, reality, perception, illusion, heck if I know. But what I know is I saw this place, and I know it was underwater, and the colors were unstoppable. It was ultraviolet. I mean, this thing was the most outstanding visual thing I'd ever seen where they took me. And I really clearly remembered it when I had my regression. Last summer was the first year I didn't go to the crop circles. I did not go back to England to go lay in the crop circles and be with the circle makers. I stayed here in America, true to my path, getting these movies out to the world, pattygreer.com, and I stayed focused here. And I had a friend come up to the house, and she opens up her computer at 10 at night in Colorado, and she says, oh, I found this amazing artist. Look at these paintings. So she pulls up this website, and the guy's name was Ariel, E-R-I-A-L, Ali. And all of a sudden, bang, she opens up this photo, and I stopped breathing. I was like, that's where they took me. Who is this artist? What is this picture? This is where they took me. I mean, it was just like, bang. I knew that I was looking at a picture of wherever it was I was taken, the two times I was taken. And it was these five pillars with a star on top. I called it the Crystal Castle. And it was underwater. And I was just like staring at this thing, this painting, going, oh, my God, I'm going to contact this guy. This is awesome. I know this is where I was. I have to look into this. So the reason I mentioned it was 10 at night in America where I live was because it was 5 in the morning in England where, for some reason, there was a new crop circle made. Now, I don't know if it happened at 5 in the morning the instant I realized that I was seeing a picture and acknowledging I knew where these ETs took me. But when I got up in the morning in America 8 hours later, I opened up my computer, and every day I get my email from the Crop Circle Connector, which, tell your audience, the CropCircleConnector.com is a great crop circle website that keeps us abreast of every circle in every country that gets documented. So if you want to know, that's where you go, CropCircleConnector.com. Or silentcircle.uk. Both those websites, people can see how many crop circles and where they are. So because I'm a member, I got my letter from the Crop Circle Connector, and I open up the email, and I swear to God, Vinny, the crop circle that happened while I slept was the Crystal Castle. It was five pillars, stars on the roof, and each had a drop of water below. I was hyperventilating. My friend came down from the guest room, and I just pointed at the computer, and I said, look. And she goes, oh, my God, it's the Crystal Castle. And I said, uh-huh. Do you see the correlation? My brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm going, okay, now I might be totally out there, but I think I just got a love letter from the circle makers in America. For me, this gets me off. Now, it might be my imagination, but I looked at the silentcircle.uk. Last summer, there were 69 new crop circles. This is the only crop circle all summer that did not have a circle. It was five pillars, five stars, and five drips of water below. I mean, there was nothing about it that was a circle. So I said to my friend, not only is this, I feel like a letter to me from the circle makers saying, stick with us, keep working, thank you, we're glad you remembered. But I had this physical manifestation that happened, I think, pretty much at the same time. 10 in America, 5 in the morning there, bang. So I'm going with it, and I'm saying, wow, and it's even a freak when there's no circle. The very next day, this happens often in the crop circles, they do phases where they will expand the message of the crop circle a few days later. On top of this crystal castle with water driplets below is this huge circle with a goddess inside. Okay, now, call me corny, but I'm like, I'm in tears. I'm here just going, okay, am I imagining this really? And then 2 weeks later, the goddess opened her arms, phase three. And that was one of the photos I sent you. Are you posting, can people see photos? Because I did give you a picture.
I can post them up after the interview's over.
Well, that one I did send to you because it's an amazing crop circle. But the fact that how this story laid out, I can't imagine me ever telling myself I'm making this up.
So, now, speaking of which, I wanted to clarify something. What exactly was your... You said you were sick. What were you sick with? And more to the point, what made you think that going and lying in crop circles would heal your illness?
I was desperate. I was totally desperate why I went to the crop circles because I went to every kind of healer in America. I went all over the country trying to... What happened was I decided to get all my old mercury fillings out of my teeth, those silver fillings. They're 50% mercury, no matter if they're new or if they're old. They are off-gassing mercury vapors into your mouth with every breath you take. And when you drink hot coffee, hot soup, brush your teeth, God forbid, go to the dentist and let them grind on those fillings and polish them for you, the mercury vapors going into your system are really super toxic. So I decided to get the mercury fillings out, and I went to a new dentist that I didn't know, and the guy laid me back, gave me free nitrous, and I woke up with a mouthful of new mercury fillings. The guy was either poisoned already from all the mercury he played with or out of his mind, but I paid him $6,000 for white fillings and one gold crown. I woke up with a mouthful of mercury fillings, the opposite of why he knew I was there. And so I was really poisoned. I got really... really badly poisoned, and it affected my fingertips because I was a harpist. I was a musician for 30 years playing harp and piano. So, you know, take a musician's fingertips away, yeah, you'll get their attention. You know, the further away I get, Vinny, sometimes I feel like everything works in perfect divine order, like this was all meant to happen. I was so committed to my life and my ego and my social life and my friends and my freaking shallowness and my unawareness of all the real parallel universes that are working with us that really need our attention, that I probably needed this much of a wake-up call to whack me upside the face and say, you know, we're going to take you out. And taking away a musician's fingers, that took me out. And I couldn't get any doctor to heal me because nobody will talk about mercury poisoning from silver fillings. They're not allowed to. And, so because my doctors were giving me the wrong blood test, because they have to, I was going around with these fingers in Band-Aids and gloves, and it just was really difficult. So in my desperation to heal, I gave up on humans and said I'd met some people that had just come back from the crop circles, and they looked different. I knew these people for 20 years, and I was like, hey, what did you do? You look different. I mean, I was like halfway through a sentence, And I said, what the heck did you do? You are not the same. And they said, yeah, we just got back from the crop circles in England. So I was gone. Six weeks later, I was there, spread arms, laying in a crop circle, crying like a baby. If there's anything out there, please help me. And I passed out. It was the second year, actually, when I had my experience. The first year, it was so rainy, I didn't lay down. But I went and just got a taste of it. Then I went back the next year for 9 weeks by myself and really set the intention to heal my body. And that's when I fully surrendered and I was taken. But, you know, I thought that that was the beginning of this for me, but I had forgotten. In 2001, I had a really extreme experience with a man that was staying at my house. I was making a CD in his recording studio. We were dating. And I had kind of an interesting house in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, where I hand feed a lot of wildlife. I've got a kind of a naughty little habit. I love foxes and deer and elk, and I will feed anybody that will come up to me in my apples. So I had a very healthy connection with the nature world there. But this boyfriend, you know, stayed up at my house. It was a nice house in the woods. And I woke up one morning, and this guy, who's well-educated, owns a recording studio, was staring at me with the creepiest look on his face. And I was like, hi, honey, what's the matter? And he grabbed my wrist and he goes, do you remember what you said in your sleep last night? I was like, whoa, I just woke up. Help me out here. He said, you woke me up by saying it's not what you see, it's what you don't see. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Cool lyrics. And then he grabbed my wrist and he goes, no, that's not all. Then you said it's not who you know, it's who you really are. But then I saw the lights. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, you woke me up, and then I saw these lights that I thought were headlights in the backyard, and I watched them out the window go toward the mountain, and then they turned and came back toward the house, but I realized there's no road back there. It's just a mountain. He said, I started shaking you and trying to wake you up, but you wouldn't wake up. I said, wow, cool dream. He said, it wasn't a dream. And he's like gripping my wrist. And I'm like, you know, white knuckle, like, honey, chill. I just woke up. I didn't do anything. Be nice. And he was freaked out. He said, all of a sudden, one of those headlights turned into a ball of light and came through the wall of your bedroom, circled the ceiling above the bed. I shook you so hard, yelling, wake up. And you wouldn't wake up. I'm like, really?
And then that's a freaky story there. Well, Patty, we're coming to break. We'll leave it on that cliffhanger and we'll finish the story when we come back. I think that actually is quite convenient. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to do this to you, but we'll be right back to continue the story.
It's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time, it's business time.
It's business, it's business time.
That's what you mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business,
welcome
it's
back.
Business time.
Oh. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about business time. And my very special guest is the lovely Patty Greer from pattygreer.com. We're talking about crop circles, UFOs, and so on and so forth. Would you please, for the love of Norwegian cheese, finish your story?
Duh! This poor guy is not the only guy that watched what happens in Patty Land. My last two boyfriends, as a matter of fact, left because of Patty Land and the UFOs. I mean, I'm telling you, Vinny, I don't know where this came out of, but I don't have an option now. This guy got to see something that I didn't, but it took me years to figure out that I was taken is why he couldn't wake me. So the first ball of light completely freaked him out. The second ball of light, he said, still gripping my wrist, my hand falling asleep by this point, he said it was white on the outside of the house like the first one, but when it came through the wall of the bedroom, it was bright green like a glow stick. Now I'm really saying, come on, seriously, you're freaking me out. I really think this was a dream. And he got up and said, it wasn't a dream. I know what I saw. You and all your animals you feed, you and your wacky elemental wisdom house. And he got up and freaked. And I'm like, you're really serious. And he goes, yeah, I don't know what it was. And I'm leaving. And I'm like, what? No coffee or breakfast? Bang, that guy was gone. So I'm sitting there like, why didn't I get to see it? I mean, I was really bummed. And he was really serious, and it really freaked him out, of course. So I wasn't in the UFO field. I'd never gone to a crop circle. I didn't read about any of this. I just thought, I've been with him 4 years. He doesn't really drink. He doesn't do drugs. What just happened? I mean, it totally threw me. But to be honest, I was jealous more than thrown. I was like, why him, not me? I want to see those things. I didn't get to see anything. So for 6 years, I'm freaking jealous of this guy. And finally, I'm in Glastonbury, England. Now I'm hanging out with all the crop circle people. And they just showed my movie at the Glastonbury Symposium. So now I know all the speakers there, and we're all comrades. And I tell the lady that does all the regressions for people that have had experiences. She's in Australia, Mary Rodwell. I don't know if you know of her. She's marvelous. She says to me, let's go have tea. So I told her the story. And I said, why him, not me? And she looks at me and she goes, are you serious? You think this was for him? He was there to tell you what happened. You were taken. And it never crossed my mind, that I wasn't there. But when he told me twice, when the green one lit up, he said, I shook the bed so hard with you on it that the headboard was hitting the wall like we were making love. And you wouldn't wake up. I was yelling in your face. Well, I guess I wasn't there. Totally freaks me out. I'm like, really? So all of these pieces now are tying together where I am a believer. And, you know, I think that once you realize you've had an experience, it's not like you're even a believer anymore. You kind of know. And there's so many millions of people that know this is really happening because they're having experiences, and not just one, but a lot of people have constant interactions, and a lot of people believe that their eggs are being used, their sperm is being used, that, you know, there are aliens among us. And I've certainly met people that claim to be, and they do have weird thumbs and weird memories. Because I know that something changed in me in the crop circles, I do listen to people with more belief than others might. But once you have an experience, you realize how real this is, and how sad it is that we're not really able to share it with more honesty.
Mm. I liken these kind of experiences to that of psychics, how they've got these abilities and they see these things, but they can't, sometimes, a lot of the times, they can't actually interpret accurately what it is that they're seeing, and they don't know exactly what the point is. Like, why did I think of that word at that particular time? Why did I think of this person before I saw them? And they don't see any meaning until afterwards. It's kind of like anybody who believes in fate is only ever proved what their fate is until after it's already happened. You know, I can't say, oh, Vinny, it's your fate to be a radio show host or something like that. I can only think about that in retrospect. Can I ask, have you been able to draw any conclusions about aliens based on your experiences, what their intentions are, what they want from you, that kind of thing? Or is it still just a big question mark?
No, I feel pretty clear, and I feel like they've been really generous with me. I mean, they've just, like, put it in my hands. What I'm having a problem doing is handing it over to the people that can make a difference. And I'm working with all the top people, and this year, because movies are so expensive for me to make, and I've had really bad experiences with distributors keeping my income, that I stopped making movies, and now I'm a public speaker, and I love it. I've got some really good gigs coming up, and one I'm just bursting at the seams to say, but until they say it, I am not supposed to say it. But anyway, I'm going to be out talking about this publicly, and when I'm out talking, I don't come with data and scientific this and that. I come with visual proof. I took these photos. I took this footage. I hung out of an airplane. What the frick was I thinking? I was telling you during the break, the way that we film in England is in these little microlight planes or helicopters if we have a bigger budget. I was a newbie. I had no idea what I was doing. I heard this guy had a plane, so you can pay him £40 an hour and go fly for an hour. And he knows the area, so he flies over the crop circles. So I get in this plane in the passenger seat, and I'm looking around, and I said, where's the harness, the seat belt? And he goes, oh, it's just that. And I'm like, well, that's like a little man's belt around my waist. Where's like the real seat belt? He's like, oh, that's it. You're fine. I'm like, how 3,000 feet up, looking over a crop circle. I'm like, really? You know, but once you're up, the majesty of it is so incredible. I guess also the mercury in me, I just stopped thinking. I was so in the moment that for all those years, I was hanging out. Oh, when you get in their plane, they say door on or door off. I'm like, excuse me, what? Yeah, do you want a door on your side? I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, all the professionals, you know, they don't have doors. You know, they want to film out the door. And I'm like, well, okay. So, you know, for all these years, I've been hanging out a no-door side of a small microlight airplane, wind and rain. And I'm really, sometimes I'd kind of look at my arm or leg and, like, plug into reality and go, what the heck am I doing? But most of the time I wasn't. I was just in awe. And the pilot would say every now and then, do you want to do one more loop? And I had my movie camera, which was ridiculously heavy, hanging out this no door with a small man's belt wrapped around my waist at 3,000 feet. Thank God I was high on mercury. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I would not do this tomorrow. But I did it every week a few times. So I'm leaning out, and I get, you know, and if it's bumpy, you got to do another circle around the crop circle. So the pilot would say, do you want one more loop? And I say, yeah, I need to do stills with a little camera. So I'd flip the movie camera like onto my chest and kind of grip it. It was really tricky. But
did you ever lose anything out the side of the plane?
No. That's
like, accidentally drop a granola bar or something?
No, you got to really be strapped down. Yeah, I got good at that. Scared the pee out of me though every now and then, because you know the wind, you're leaning and it's like woo. So this great pilot that I started flying with once I got more experienced, he would say to me, look at me, and I'd go, why? And he'd say, trust me, just look at me. And so I keep looking at him like, are you going to do something? Are you entertaining? I mean, he'd go, no, you're good now. And I'm like, what? So the one time that I didn't look at him, I didn't realize that he would say, had just said to me, do you want to do one more loop? And I'd say, yeah. So instead of going way out, he would bank the plane really deep to sweep in to give me one more nice visual without having to go miles away like the other pilots. But if I looked down and didn't look at him, I'd realize that my shoulder was, you know, 3,000 feet above and no ground. I mean, it was just wide open door, just me and that little teeny seat belt. And the one time I looked, I never looked again. It was really stunning to film the crop circles, but also to be above them. When you're in them, you just see the magnificence of the artistry of how they lay the wheat and burn the thing to bend it just right. And I can't even imagine the advanced technology that's laying it down. But what I do have in the very beginning of two of my movies that I mentioned earlier, one of them is the very first movie, and I put it at the end, is called The Wake Up Call, Anybody Listening? And then I realized that so many people got too much information, too many crop circle images, your just eyeballs are bouncing in your head by the end, hour 20 minutes, that they missed the ending. And at the ending, I was like, here's two balls of light making a crop circle before your eyes. So I lay this footage in that people had given me in Europe, and I knew nothing about crop circles. This was my first movie. I was brand new. I hired an editor on Craigslist, this kid, 26 years old, and we're laying down this movie, and he's like, where'd you get all this? How do you know this stuff? And I said, I don't know. I just do. So,
well, hold on 1 second there, Patty. We'll continue this after the break. And I think you need to turn your speakers down a little bit too, because it's feeding back like a motherfucker. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. Patty Greer is my guest. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. As far as I know, the first New Zealander in history to have an American-based talk radio show. And we were talking over the break about television, you know, like Two and a Half Men and Charlie Sheen and Big Bang Theory and so on and so forth. And Patty was surprised that I knew what these things were. And it's like, well, you do realize that the American television studios pretty much own the entire globe's television, right? You know, we're all fed the exact same stuff and propaganda. And what I found interesting about, say, the Big Bang Theory, Patty, is that in the start, you know, the whole universe was such and such and blah, 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 blah. And we built the pyramids, and then there's the big all-seeing eye Illuminati pyramid, you know, just right there on the thing there. And then you look at the producer, Chuck Lorre, and what he did to Charlie Sheen back in the day and that kind of thing, got him fired from Two and a Half Men and tried to sabotage him and all of this other kind of stuff, you know. It's just like, I'm just wondering, how much corruption is there really that we're being exposed to without even knowing that it's corruption? But anyway, you were in the middle of telling a story before we went off to a break there before. I apologize.
Well, you're throwing me onto one of the mornings that I accidentally let myself do a few weeks ago where I asked myself that question. So you can just dial in any question on the planet into YouTube, and they will throw you versions that will make you sweat and chill. I couldn't believe what I saw, where they turned all the famous people into Illuminati victims and all the symbolism. You know, I don't know where reality and the veil split off anymore, Vinny, because I sat there and I let myself watch, and then there was another one, and I sat through that too. And then I sat through another one, because it makes you totally curious. And then you're like, I can't be doing this. I'm trying to walk away, but God, I just got to watch one more. Because if this is true, I want to know. I hope it's not true what I watched, but I think you just put a little dot on a huge canvas that, you know, if it's true, the whole thing is a mess.
Oh, yeah.
And all the messages to people are incorrect.
I watch a reasonable amount of movies, right? And now what I'm doing with them is when I'm watching them on the computer, every single time I see a bit of Freemason or Illuminati symbolism, I take a screenshot. Or if they mention the number 33, I take an audio recording. And I've currently got nearly 50 out of about maybe 10 or 12 movies that I've watched and actually done through this process. And so what I want to do eventually is actually make a movie called 33, just showing all the symbolism that's laid all throughout Hollywood movies and television shows and stuff. And what's interesting is that you can watch a movie and it'll take an hour and a half, right? And you'd only see maybe two things in there. Like one would be an all-seeing eye pyramid just in the corner of the room as a desk lamp or something like that. And one would be a black and white tiled floor like the Freemasons have got. And that's two symbols inside of 90 minutes, right? But if you compress into 90 minutes thousands of these pictures and recordings, suddenly it becomes utterly undeniable at the level of infiltration that Illuminati symbolism has gotten into Hollywood, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And all the big games. Yeah. Mm. Well, when people tear it apart and go at that angle, they have an awful lot of ammunition to play with.
Yeah, they're leaving their weapons around for us to pick up and use against them, I feel.
Mm. Well, you know, I try and stay on the light side of all this because it's really hard to deal with those kinds of energies because they're... I don't know. I just keep seeing slime, you know, on the earth. But, you know, when I look at how much food has been poisoned, when I look at the fact that it's still legal to put mercury in people's mouths, I'm just astounded that, you know, the punchline is who's in charge here, really? It's like, you know, we kind of all need to take our power back and be taking better care of everything because this is really out of control, how much contamination is happening to our health that's being done rather intentionally. And it's so many aspects that you got to wonder where, you know, this is where I'm wondering. I just keep saying this can't be real. You know, you look outside, you see a really bad chemtrail day, you just go, this can't be real. But then there's movies, there's all kinds of documentation. Well, yeah, it is. Well, then why doesn't everybody know? Why don't people know about ETs? Well, let's look at the news and who owns it, especially today. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. Do you know the, I think you interviewed Stanton Friedman, the nuclear scientist?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, he's a marvelous speaker in America. He's at all the big events here, you know, year after year. But he has four rules for debunkers, which is one of my favorite things I've ever heard him say. And this is why the world doesn't get to really know the truth about things. And because of your opening song, obviously you're all about the truth about things. But why aren't people being told about where the fluoride in the water really comes from? Why don't people know that? I mean, that's so ridiculous that it's allowed. But if people don't know, then it gets to keep happening. You know, I live near a city called Boulder, Colorado. Really hip little rich people's town. Everybody's got their little BMWs. And we all came here to go to college because our parents knew we'd never leave. There's this curse about the town that some Indian chief said, if you come to Boulder and live here longer than 6 months, you'll never leave. And it's true. We're all like Klingons to the area. But lo and behold, unbeknownst to the people, Boulder almost got fracked.
Mm.
Our city council people said, sure, why not? I shouldn't say it like that. But they agreed to the oil and gas people to let them frack Boulder, 1,800 wells in a really rich area of a lot of young people, a town that prides itself on gyms and athletic clubs and healthy organic food and cosmic this and spiritual that. And our city people and our governor of Colorado, they're just like allowing our area to be fracked. And the people have no idea until all of a sudden you see these trucks pull in your driveway and you say, what? You're kidding, right? I own this property. Yeah, well, you don't know what's under it. What's happening is happening so quickly now and people aren't watching. That's why shows like yours are so important. That's why the ETs are trying to get our attention to the food fields. Look what's going on with your food. You know, they're not just laying down crop circles. They could do it in sand or in something else, but they're doing it in our food for hundreds of years because I think they've been warning us about Monsanto, about toxifying our food source. So while I was filming wildly in England, people would say to me, well, why don't you, you know, interview the farmers that mow down the fields? Why don't you interview the debunkers? And I would say, you know, I want to keep going in the crop circles instead of these people that are, you know, doing things that aren't really in the energy of the crop circles. So finally I said, okay, I'll interview the farmer that mows down most of the Avery Stone Circle area. So he says, yes, I got 20 minutes. I'll meet you. So we make a plan. We meet at his farm, and I bring an assistant with me. We show up right on time. I've used my camera for years. I'm good at it. And I set up the tripod. He says, oh, hello. And he starts to chat with my friend. And I said, no, don't ask him questions. Let's get it all on camera. He says, okay, mate, I've got 20 minutes there. So I'm like rushing you. I get the tripod out, get the camera. And camera will not go on the tripod. I turned it around. I'm like, camera won't go on the tripod. Camera will not go on. I mean, it just wouldn't. So I turned it over. I'm looking at the bottom. I'm like, this has never happened. So I'm dinking with the gear, and I'm readjusting it. And at the time, my hands were in gloves and Band-Aids, so it was kind of difficult. But I was just all over it, you know. And it just wouldn't go on the tripod. So I kind of rammed it on the edge, like, okay. And I'm holding it with one hand, reaching into the trunk to get the batteries out to the mics, set up the mics. Neither mic would work. I'm like, whoa, that's really weird. And the farmer looks over and he goes, well, mate, I'm down to 7 minutes there. So I'm like, well, I've never seen, you know, nothing's working. This is so weird. I said, tell you what, let's go in the barn. Let's skip being in front of your big tractor. It's a beautiful day. Let's just go inside the barn. And then I'll use my knee as a tripod. I use the interior mic of the camera. I want this interview. I'm down to 7 minutes. He says, no, we can't go in the barn. I just sprayed in there. I said, excuse me? What did you spray it with? And he said, well, we just sprayed the field too. And I said, isn't that where the food goes? And he said, yes, ma'am. And I said, so you're telling me that you sprayed something in there that you won't walk in, and that's where the food's going to go? And of course, then it was, oh, well, look what time it is. I've got to go. He drove away. I'm standing there like, whoa. And this is before I really knew about these companies that are destroying the food chain. Intentionally or not. I didn't know about it at the time. I'm looking at a farmer say to me, I just poisoned the barn. I just poisoned the field. And so I looked at him and I said, isn't this people's food? What did you spray it with? And he left. As soon as he left, I'm standing there with my friend and I said, oh my God, I don't think people are allergic to wheat. They're allergic to what they're spraying on the wheat. And we started to kind of get settled heading toward the car. And I said, whoa, I'm getting goosebumps and chills. I got a funny feeling. She says, what? And I said, I don't know, but watch this. So I reached in the car in the trunk, and I grabbed the camera, and it slid right on the tripod and locked down like a jewel. And she said, oh, my God, I can't believe that just worked. And I said, yeah, well, watch this. And I grabbed the mics from the trunk, and I put them on the camera, locked it all down, and both mics were bing, bing. Everything worked just fine as soon as the farmer left. When I tell you these movies make themselves through my body, these circle makers, whoever they are, they're running the show. I'm running the camera. And my intuition said, I don't want to interview the farmer. And the circle makers were like, are you really going to waste that time? Really?
Yeah, waste the whole 7 minutes of it.
Right, but I didn't ever get an interview. So then I said, my friend Monique in front of the guy's big tractor, because we were laughing hysterically that as soon as the guy left, the gear started working again. And I said, I'm telling you, the circle makers are messing with us. This is how it rolls. It was really
funny. Do you reckon the circle makers have a sense of humor?
Well,
hold on, Patty, hold on. You need to turn down your speakers just a little bit more. There's a bit of that feedback coming on again.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. So do the circle makers, you reckon, have a good sense of humor?
Yeah, they keep me laughing, I got to tell you. I mean, I just keep being surprised because it just keeps being so real. Let's talk about some of the historic crop circles. Have you followed them over the years, seen photos and gone, whoa?
Every now and again, yeah. My girlfriend's really into UFOs. She's actually in the next room listening to the broadcast live at the moment. And so every now and again, I'll see her watching a documentary about UFOs on the computer and seeing, like, whoa, that looks very interesting. I had a question to ask you about that, actually. Do you know when the first documented crop circle was? You said it was hundreds of years ago or something.
It was in the 1700s, and it was in England, in this area. And they called it a fairy ring. And then they called it the devil's something, you know, in 1796, I think it was. You know, they had that big cartoon. But they've been around for hundreds of years, mainly in the last 30, because people took interest and realized there were so many in this area of southern England that we had more pilots decide to do the regular flights there to watch the fields. And, you know, when you drive by and you see that on the side of the road, it just takes your breath away. And in that area, some of them are off the side of the road, but many of them are like way in the middle of nowhere where you just go, why here? And the circle makers, which is what I call them, figure they can count on people like me to be crazy enough to go up in those little planes and take pictures. But there's probably 10 or 20 of us that they can count on every summer, maybe five professional, to document the crop circles every year. And they're so stunning that whenever people go over there, they typically take the time to fly. And these two websites that keep track really give us a nice home base where we can send the photos and document all the crop circles we're seeing.
So, do you ever wonder whether or not you're being used?
I don't allow myself to think that. I think that there's two ways to look at everything. And the circle makers, I think, are benign because nobody's been hurt in a crop circle that I know of. And when we look at the messages, they're not random. They're not sloppy. When we get photo images of each crop circle on the day it happens, which is when you want to fly over it before a bunch of people walk through it and step on the grain and make a mess of it. But when you get there on the first day and you get a sharp image, there's a lot of them that are actually binary codes, codes that can be read on a computer, codes that can be deciphered down to an ASCII code, which goes into letters that you can turn into words, and messages have been decoded in a lot of these crop circles. There were two of the most remarkable crop circles in history, in my opinion, that were not coincidentally located in farm fields right near a line of radio antennas, where they had telecommunication towers. They felt that if they put it in this field, that there would be an opportunity for many people to hear about it because they had all these telecommunication towers. And I don't think it was a coincidence that it happened in 2001, just before 9/11, and it happened in 2002, about 8 miles away. And both of them were double formations, and both of them had, one had an alien face and a big round disc with all these dots and slashes. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't. But we're coming to break now. So, if you could elaborate on the big round disc with the dots and flashes after the break, that'd be very nice. Patty Greer is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. PattyGreer.com. She's famous and illustrious and various other nice adjectives too. And we'll be right back at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, Patty Greer is my guest. You were talking about a crop circle that had big spots and dots and slashes on it, kind of like a binary code. Would you explain what that message was?
Yes. What that was they called it the Chil Bolton message. And there was, within 2 years, 2001 and 2002, there were two very notable formations. The one that we're going to talk about had the alien face and the disc. And this disc was three times the size of the face. It was this huge, round, binary code but it actually turned out to be what they call an ASCII code. And the ASCII is an interesting description because it is a form of binary, but ASCII stands for American Standard Code for Information Interchange. Now, to me, that sounds intergalactic anyway, but what I'm starting to see with the crop circles is that we're coming up with a language that both of us can read, which is art or code. They're not doing a language or a radio frequency, you know, like we're sending out these radio frequencies to communicate with them, but we need to find a language that we both understand. And so that's why I think they've chosen to do the crop circles as art. So this ASCII code was deciphered by, I'm trying to find their names. It doesn't matter their names, but the two guys that were the scientists deciphered the message as this: beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Well, that's what you call ASCII and ANSWERD.
That's what you call a pretty heavy message. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. You know, as we're going to war, as we're just before 9/11, you know, we're going through, actually, this was right after 9/11. The message that happened just before 9/11 was really stunning. The year before, this one, they called it the Arecibo message. And again, it was a double formation in a field in England. And in 1974, the American government sent out this radio transmission through SETI, which is S-E-T-I, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And we had sent it from this radio telescope that was the largest one. I think it was 1,000 feet across, and it was built into this huge stone in Puerto Rico. So we sent out this message, and they say that the modifications had been done to the transmitter so it could broadcast signals at a power of up to 20 terawatts. So as an inaugural test of the improvements, SETI sent out this encoded message to the stars. And they aimed it toward the globular cluster called M13, which is about 25,000 light years away. And it consists of 300 stars in the constellation of Hercules. This is just the literal where they sent it. So the message was transmitted in 1974, and it had these particular pulses of binary code, zeros and ones. And it took less than a minute to transmit this message, and it was on a frequency of 2380 megahertz, which is, this is all to scientists that makes sense. To me, it's just numbers. But they decoded the message by, they sent out a specific message, which if anybody in space was listening, it gave them an example of us, our makeup, our scientific sugars and bases and nucleotides and DNA. We had a geographical representation of our double helix. We had all these different signatures of different explanations of humanity. We had a human body with arms and legs and the population of the Earth approximately. So we didn't expect to get a response for quite some time. And all of a sudden, bang, in 2001, we get almost the identical pattern sent back in a field of wheat, brittle wheat. There is almost an identical formation to the message, the binary code that was sent into space. It's there in a crop circle next to a face of something that looked like Jesus or an ET. I don't know, but it looked like a man's face. It was a pictogram. It was like a picture. And then this binary code, but the message they sent back had changes. They had larger heads, smaller bodies. They had different mineral elements, and they added the element silicon. Silicone. And everybody was really stunned by this. And then, of course, the media went wild with it. And then it disappeared because, oh, my God, this is creeping people out. It's really quite real that we are getting messages from other dimensional realities visible for everyone to see It's unbelievable that people are talking about the crop circles because they're not going away anytime soon.
Can you draw any conclusions as to precisely why these crop circles have been done? You mentioned Monsanto, and some have theorized that there's – let me see. You know, the dualistic reality, you know, good people, bad people, good aliens, bad aliens. Do you believe in that, that there's good aliens out there and bad ones as well?
Yes.
And if so – which one of them is actually doing the crop circles trying to warn us? It might just be the bad ones trying to deceive us, maybe. I don't know. What's your perspective on that?
I think after 200 years, I've never seen a crop circle I didn't love or feel something good about. Even the ones made by people. A lot of the other speakers about crop circles are saying out loud, yeah, I think that a lot of the human circle maker groups are getting the pattern in a dream from the ETs, and then going out and laying them down with a group of guys and laughing about it so that they can kind of be that buffer zone between humans realizing crop circles are really real and humans thinking that humans are making them. You know, it's a lot easier to digest that, but slowly but surely, I think the mainstream media is going to realize once we start telling the truth again, if we do, that these things have been real for hundreds of years. I think that if there were scary crop circles that were lying to us or giving us pictures of monsters, we would have seen that, but we haven't seen anything of the kind. We've seen sacred geometry. We've gotten message, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. We've gotten messages from space. I think another really telling thing was in 2009. That whole summer, it was the most freak summer of crop circles because, and I was over there. Oh, no, I wasn't. I was in America that year. It was birds and fish, but there were like six of each, and they were like pictures, which we call pictograms. It wasn't sacred geometry or binary code. It was pictures of a group of sparrows flying, a phoenix, a thunderbird, an owl. You know, you could recognize it was definitely a bird. And then all of a sudden there were squid and octopus, like 2 acres of octopus with tentacles. I mean, these crop circles were outrageously. I mean, you should really go to the Crop Circle Connector and look in the archives to entertain yourself. Have a glass of wine and go look at old crop circles. You'll be blown away and how transparent these messages are. And the only reason people aren't talking about it, in my opinion, is because the news is covering this up so well and keeping us really busy with who shot somebody or who ran over somebody's girlfriend. We're like,
well, I think that's one part. I think that might be one part of it. The other part of it is everybody's so toxified in every single part of their daily life with mercury fillings and chemtrails and fluoride and GMO food and so on and so forth that their brains can't even work, let alone understand something intergalactic.
I know. Isn't it sad?
Mm.
Well, I think that I believe in the hopeful people that say there's more awakened humans right now than has ever been on this earth. And I want to keep believing that people are waking up and that we will topple this problem because I remember probably 10 years ago, I went and studied with a wonderful, such a positive woman, Patricia Cota Robles, and she takes people around the world on spiritual tours with a group of 100. This is 10 years ago. And she's just, but, you know, really filling you up with positive thinking because what you and I know doesn't feel good. What you and I know, people we meet on the street probably don't want to talk to us about. Or family members, how's your family doing with what you know?
Well, initially they thought I was crazy, and now they've gained a lot of respect because I stopped talking to them about it so much and getting them to hate me even more. You know, you just do the little information grenade kind of thing. You know, you throw one thing in there, and then either the grenade's going to blow up and they're going to go, wow, really? And then ask some questions, or the grenade's going to blow up in your face and they'll go, wow, you're crazy, and a conspiracy there is, and so on and so forth. So whatever happens, you know, just decide whether or not you want to keep talking or just walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I remember, and this happens to a lot of people who deal with conspiracy stuff, and it's just, you know, imagine somebody came up to you, Patty, and tried to convince you of something that you weren't ready to accept, and they kept trying to convince you. You'd become an enemy of that person pretty quickly, wouldn't you? And,
oh, yeah.
And now, And now we do it to our families and we get surprised when we become their enemy.
Well, the Thrive people, Foster and Kimberly, did a recent video called How to Talk to the World. Because it really is a problem for those of us who believe we know what's going on. And you notice how I kind of pillow talk, believe we know, appear to be. My perception is, I mean, you know, when I get up in front of a large group of people, I'm not here to convince you. I'm not here to change your thinking. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me and you can take it or leave it. And I think we really need to keep our humor about all of this because this is heavy stuff. It's really heavy stuff. And when I woke up from that crop circle in 2007, when I had my big experience where I was taken again and brought back with the information to make all these movies, when I opened my eyes, alone laying there, I had sunburn on my face. I didn't know how long I'd been passed out or gone. But most people that have this experience come back with a red face like a sunburn. And when I opened my eyes, I felt like, oh, God, you know, I passed out and I had these mosquitoes circling above my nose. So I swished them with my hand. And as soon as they were gone, and this was my experience day, I saw things in the sky that I had never seen before. And I kept looking and blinking my eyes and kind of rubbing my eyes and thinking, am I imagining this or am I seeing something? And what I see all the time now is what appears to be a parallel universe plasma. There, you know, we've got solids, liquids, gas, plasma, light. So it's, you know, really light, really not dense. But when we take the time to focus, where a lot of people are starting to see plasma energy. I've never seen it, and it might have been because I was in the crop circle and just got a big whammy, or it might have been because I was laying on my back looking at the sky and not in a hurry. But when I saw these things, I was stunned, and I watched them for a very long time, and now I can do it with intention. I'm looking out the window now, and it doesn't take much effort. But when I take groups of people outside and say slowly, here's how to see them, almost everybody says, oh, my God, I can see this. I never noticed this before. And it's only because we're not taking the time. But a lot of people that are saying, are they here? You know, why don't they just show themselves? Well, I got to tell you, they're leaving messages in the field. They're showing themselves to people that are ready and willing. And if you just sit down, stop texting, put your computer away for 10 minutes, go outside and say, I'm interested. Show me the money. Honey, you know, show yourselves. I really want to see you. You'll start seeing more and more. I really think that when we ask, we do receive with this higher dimensional stuff. I don't focus on the bad ones because I'm working my best to stop focusing on the bad distributors, the bad people, the crap that I've had happen in my life with humans. Well, no wonder I'm working with ETs, you know, but it's not like I'm a victim. It's just I trusted a lot of people and I've got some decades under my belt. So, you know, I think that in life we realize that, especially now, I think we're in probably one of the worst corruption times in history. This might go down as the worst group of years as everything comes to the surface to be healed. That's why I was talking about Patricia Kodorobilis. The one thing she said, no matter what it looks like in the world, everything that's dark that's coming up now is coming to the surface to be healed. And well, I
find that very interesting. The body has a reaction. Oh, that was a very bad bit of feedback there, and it's still feeding back. Eddie, could you please turn down your speakers?
It is so down.
Yeah, that's weird, man. Okay.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm on one dot. I can barely hear you, but I can hear you.
I cannot. It's coming through my head. It's coming through. It's like the worst feedback ever. And now it's gone. What the heck is going on? Maybe we're having some interference. But anyway, you were saying before about how these dark, bad things and so on and so forth are coming to the surface to be healed. And that reminds me of what happens to people when they change their diet and start going fully organic, is they start getting these massive breakouts of pimples and stuff all over their body as it comes to the surface to be healed.
Yes. I really think it's happening. It's the purging of Gaia. It's the purging of humanity. But, you know, the secrecy about UFOs is probably one of the craziest things that they've ever pulled off. And
I do want to talk about this after the break as well, about the secrecy aspect behind UFOs, because just recently a Canadian minister has come out and said that we're not alone, and we've had experience with these entities and so on and so forth, and it needs to be disclosed to the public. So we'll see how that works out in the Wernher von Braun sense of the word. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Hey, and what I found interesting is that Paddy's been having these little kind of sort of sounds in the background, and I thought they sounded like crickets. But in actual fact, they're hummingbirds that are like outside her window, and she's on the lake and all of this kind of stuff. And it was like, oh man, it'd be really awesome to have her on webcam. Not today. She's got hiking hair, and that's not good. Now, speaking secrecy, and my feeling about the UFO phenomenon is that it's not entirely extraterrestrial, that humans have developed really advanced weapon systems, extremely advanced craft that are capable of doing amazing things, they're covered in lights and all of that kind of thing. And sometimes, just sometimes, is my theory, that when you see these craft in the sky, they're not actually piloted by extraterrestrials, they're actually piloted by humans. And I wonder if that's the reason why so many of them get caught on camera, because I remember what Wernher von Braun said. He's the maker of the V2 rocket, and then the head of NASA for a time, saying that the one of the last great wars that humanity would fight after World War, after the Cold War, the War on Terrorism, would be a fight against an alien threat, a manufactured fight against an alien threat. So I have a theory that a lot of the UFO phenomenon is in fact purposely done by the military to seed out throughout the population this sort of fear, this misunderstanding about alien species, so that at some point they can trigger a false attack, false invasion, and suddenly everybody will think, oh my God, there's aliens and humans, therefore we need a human government for the whole planet and a one world government that will be really loving to protect us from these evil aliens which we made up. What do you think about that, Patty?
I think you summed it up just right.
Damn, I'm good.
Damn, you're good. I mean, you know, there's so many different belief systems. That one makes sense. Sadly, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's quite sad when you know how to deceive people. Is that you suddenly realize how badly you've been deceived yourself?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not too proud of my species lately, I got to tell you. But most people do believe that extraterrestrials exist. Most people know that they're interacting with us on a daily basis in society, that there's hybrid humans. To answer your question about the ships, triangles that are being seen in the sky all the time being us or them, or we, because we're all probably one, when we get down to the spiritual aspect. But if it's true, and I wasn't there in 1947, but if it's true that the world government or United States government made an agreement with an alien race or a few, that we would offer human bodies whatever they needed, whenever they wanted, and they would give their military advanced technology. So if it's true that in 1947, the ships really did land, that they really did get aliens, that they really did take the craft below and reverse engineer it, and then do this trade, that our president really did show up at the meeting. Eisenhower, was it? I'm not sure, because I'm not the historian here. But, you know, all through history, supposedly, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But, you know, that all the presidents have known that about the extraterrestrial presence. But I think that you're right that these that if that agreement was made back in the 40s, that we gave them all of us that they can just pick and choose from and abduct and take seeds and sperm when they want. And they gave the special elite these gifts of triangle ship technology and free energy device. Well, if it's true, then that makes total sense that we did re-engineer a lot of spacecraft that could be fooling a lot of UFO researchers that are all excited. I don't think that what I feel in the crop circles could be engineered by humans. I think guys can go into a field with boards and ropes, but they can't make the goosebumps stand up on my arm. And then I look behind me and my boyfriend nods, yeah, I feel it. And he holds up his arm and the hair is standing straight up. And then the girl behind him, she goes, yeah, man, I feel it too. So all of us in the same moment stepped into that umbrella of some kind of elevated electromagnetic energy. It's noticeable, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's energetic, and I think it's very positive, or we would have known by now. The only thing negative is the poison being sprayed on the wheat by stupid humans. And I'm sorry to say that, but to me, when you poison your food, you're kind of doing stupid human work. So what I want to say about my movies, because I know we're getting near the end of the show, and you can tell by listening to me, I'm kind of the bold and the assertive girl in the field because I don't have anything to hide. There's nothing in my field that says, I doubt this is true. What I know is that there's something very real about the crop circles, but when you lay out all these messages over the years and realize how they were, in a sense, warning us about things to come. When we saw all those birds and fish and a dragonfly, the oldest insect, and some kind of an ancient sea creature in the crop circles that summer, 6 months later, BP did the hugest oil spill and killed millions of birds and fish and dragonflies. And I went, oh, my God, the crop circles. I mean, my head, but again, it's my perception. It's what I think. But I'm listening to them, and I think that a lot of other people are listening to them. And if they were not our friends, I think we would have known it by now. But as I watch them kind of looking down at us, you know, I just keep going, please don't give up, because we're acting real badly. There's a lot of really, unfortunately, stupid humans running the things now. And I'm impressed at their patience. But yeah, I wish they would land on the White House lawn and sit over the major cities for 3 days, just so people would finally on the third day be worn out enough going, this can't be real, to, you know, be real.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, oh, we've got feedback again. Could you mute your mic there, Patty?
I did the thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's that's so weird. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. Anyway, there was a prediction by a dude. I think it might have been last year or a couple of, I can't remember the chronology here, but he said, look, there is going to be a massive event where alien craft will be hovering over major cities. And in the next 90 days or something like that. And then on the exact date that he said, there were massive sightings over New York and London and a number of major cities all around the world. How would he know that? And it was, interestingly enough, I believe it might have been an Air Force general who said that. Now, there's two things that come to mind. Number one, is he just part of the disinformation campaign and all of these aircraft that coincidentally turned up exactly when an Air Force general said they would? Are they all his classified aircraft underneath his belt? Or did aliens tell him that this was going to happen and so on and so forth? We've already had the public appearances, and it was on mainstream media. It just wasn't repeated 1,000 times on mainstream media like everything else that tells you that fluoride's good for you.
Right.
So there's this element of confusion within this.
To know who's telling the truth, yeah.
And that can be inherently frustrating. I mean, particularly for somebody who's a seeker of truth, when you don't know whether or not people are telling you the truth or whether or not they're just being manipulated into telling you a lie or whether or not they're deliberately lying to you. And it's just, there's just so many things that are just up in the air. And, you know, the facts still stand for themselves, don't they? You see UFO footage coming out every week. Every week, there's more UFO footage. Every other day, there's more and more crop circles. And incidentally, there was something else I wanted to say. I forgot what it was. You know, when you got something really important in the back of your mind, you just want to finish what you're saying before you come up with it, and then you freaking forget it. And it's like, damn. It was really brilliant. Sorry, I got nothing. Patty, we've come to the end of the show here.
I was going to be really impressed if you said it.
Yeah, I would have been too. So we've got about a minute left here for you to divulge your website again and also to wrap up and you know, wish the audience fairly well, I guess.
Well, I'm really honored to talk to all of you way over there across the world. What I want to say is that without a doubt, if you want to know the truth about crop circles and you want to see these balls of light making them, my last two movies are really blatant. I think I'm the only filmmaker in the world that lays it out quite this clearly, because I'm not coming with a script and hairdos and makeup and staff. It's me and my camera and these circle makers, whoever they are. I make all these movies just completely intuitive, kind of telepathic the way it works. And I just keep being amazed at how did all these perfect people show up right at the right time? Oh my God, look at this location. The lighting is perfect. I'm holding this camera going, which end is the lens? I mean, I don't even know the names of the parts, but I make movies with it. So, you know, when things are real, they're effortless. And I think that all of us are going to take in what's right for us. So if we follow our gut and listen to our heart and really be mindful that we take in positive information, hopefully deciphering it from what isn't real or is dark or is pretending to be part of our good team. You know, as long as we can see the difference, we're going to do just fine. But we got to really hang on to our hope to get to the other side of this. And the crop circles are like love letters from these guys. They're physical. They've been around for hundreds of years. And just looking at YouTube, if you go to Patty Greer, first 15 minutes, you will see all five of my movies, the first 15 minutes. And I give it away. In the first 15 minutes, I show you the balls of light making the crop circles, and you meet at least a few people that have had the experiences. You'll know after you see these movies that this is no make-believe. This is really happening, and it's a lot more important than the car wreck down the block.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the bold and the beautiful Patty Greer, available at pattygreer.com. Thank you for your time, and thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.